We will now officially go on the record.
Okay, I'm opening the meeting at 5:35, maybe 5:34 by Naval Observatory time. I'm watching 5 minutes back.
Vice President.
Oh. Roll call.
Yes. And everybody speak loud. We do not have microphones.
I've turned my hearing aids up. Should be able to hear you, hopefully. Okay, roll call.
Liz Essman, Ward 2.
Barbara Brain, Ward 3.
Adam Stout, Ward 3.
John Solidar, Ward 1.
Jonathan Stittleman, Ward 2.
Okay, and I will say our councilman is not here, council liaison is not here because he has at the special study session that the city is having at 6 o'clock up in the city hall. Opening round. Anybody have any comments for opening round?
No.
Nothing?
This will be my last meeting for a couple months because I'm going to Johannesburg again. So Johannesburg and Kampala, Uganda. So I will be away for the next 2 months. So I'll miss you all.
Is that work related?
That is work related, yeah. So I take, I lead the Master of Urban Design thesis. And so we're taking 18 students there. But I hope you all have fun without me.
Yeah. And you have fun without me.
I traveled to South Africa once. We enjoyed it very much.
It's very amazing.
Yeah, all right. We'll miss you. Okay, approval of minutes from the last meeting. They weren't in the package that came by email, so if you may want to look it over and take 2 minutes to read the minutes.
Mary is on the commission. She is sick tonight.
Oh, okay.
Last month she was working on that plastic bag thing during the day and didn't come. And so hopefully next meeting she'll be
okay. I just want to make sure she's okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Has there been a study session with the city council?
On recycling?
Yeah.
Yeah, so far everything is going as it has been.
Cool.
I have not been told that anything's changing.
There's been a lot more publicity about what good practices around recycling are regionally, which I think has been excellent.
Good, then it's working.
I've been listening.
Yeah.
I'm trying to resolve my own worst practices.
Well, one thing that everybody needs to realize is that most people are doing 90% of recycling right already, containers, paper, and it's that 10% that people are like, I don't know what to do with it, recycling's so hard. I'm like, you're already getting an A, you know,
yeah.
You can strive for that extra 10%, but it's not that bad, you know.
Okay, any comments on the meeting, 5 minutes from last meeting? Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
They have approved. Okay. Special presentation, if you don't have one tonight, unless, Jenny, you want to talk about something, or nobody from the outside. Okay?
Unless we want to talk about, no, it's already in here.
Okay. We'll move on. New business, the Better Together Municipal Meeting, May 13th. That may be dropped.
It's dropped.
Okay.
That is no longer happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because right now it's off.
Yeah, like that untabled.
Better Together is totally, I'm pulling their petition for a statewide vote. They were totally wrapped up in Steve Stengel's, I don't know, sphere of influence or whatever. And I decided after that to get out of it. And so we'll see what they come up with later on.
Does that mean that, like, the budget and things of that nature, like for Firehouse 1 and all that, can be changed or amended or?
Not that I've been told.
Supplemented?
Yeah, we had things that we were pushing.
Right, and it was all...
Solo.
And that's
why
I was hoping to talk to our councilman, but I'll have to save that for next month, I guess.
Yeah, which is a bummer because the study session is on the budget tonight.
Yeah, and we had wanted the solar refit on the firehouse, and that was dropped because of Better Together. You know, we might have lost control of the fire department, whatever, or lost even that house. I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm asking my director right now. He's probably in that, or he's going to. I think it starts at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you can bring it up.
I mean, I'm glad it's dropped, but...
Yeah, but this opens up the possibility again of
right.
doing things we've been proposing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he probably won't text right away.
No. Okay. So, on to old business then. Litter, special report from Liz.
That is me. So, I have this sort of a high-level overview of litter, and I did a lot of research into, where litter is being found and what's going on and what other municipalities are doing. And so... I guess I'll just start from the top here. I defined litter, and the most interesting thing I learned was that there's active versus passive litter. Active being the intentional dropping or mistreatment of waste, and then passive litter is when it blows out of a can or a truck or was unintentionally littered. And so those two distinctions sort of define some of the different activities that we could do to reduce the litter in the city. So what is being littered? This is sort of just from what I've seen around my neighborhood in Hanley and North and South and Olive Boulevard. So say 90% of what was littered is food wrappers, packaging, fast food containers, cups, straws. And there's also a lot of cans and glass bottles, beer and soda, and a lot of cigarettes, tobacco wrappers, and then in a few places was furniture, mattresses, tires, some larger, illegal type dumping items. And I found through some research that the majority of litter is found in the transition areas, and so that could be anything between jurisdictions. It could be the distinction between a more natural space and a built environment. It could be between residential and commercial or any transitional area like that because of the diffusion of responsibility there. And then commuter pathways, roads, parking lots, and then lawns, both residential, private, and commercial. And then I found a pattern where stormwater collects is also where there's more heavy litter. So I guess that's being, washed into those areas where litter comes from. Could be active or passive, like I said. So it could be the intentional dropping out of cars or in traffic. It could be somebody's putting trash on a bin that's already overflowing, and so it just blows out. And so an interesting point I read was that it's definitely not a residential phenomenon. A lot of the times people who litter don't live in the area, and so that definitely influenced some of the suggested steps I'll get to in a minute. And then what spreads litter? The number one fact that I found throughout all the research was that litter causes more litter. When people see that there's litter, they think that just what the status quo is, so they go ahead and drop it, or that was the big thing that I found. Mm-hmm. And then more congested traffic, and that could be for a number of reasons. And so what is UCity already doing? We have on our website nuisance claims. That's typically for residential areas. It covers a lot of different categories, improper use of lawns, and then there's an inspector that I tried to speak with. He didn't return my call. But so I'm not exactly sure the exact process by which the inspector does those types of claims, but he definitely goes out and responds to the individual nuisance claims. UCity and Bloom, like we talked about last month, they do a number of litter cleanup projects specifically around bus stations and commuter zones. Alliance Against Litter, they have... Obviously, their focus is picking up litter, and they're actually looking at the third ward along Olive Boulevard this season. So they might be a good partner or a good group to, you know, look at. And then I found that U City actually has a mow and litter contract, which is the secondary part of what's on the back of the page. I listed where the contract specifies that whoever we contracted with should already be picking up litter prior to mowing. And from my own observations, I found that a lot of the litter that had scattered in my neighborhood was clearly had been mowed over in pieces or shredded.
So
that's why I listed
fulfilling that part of their contract.
Mm-hmm.
The contract.
And I didn't want to print out the 3-page contract because most of it was about the mowing. But I found it interesting that a lot of these areas, it sort of overlaps with the areas that we've already been talking about. And then what have other municipalities done? The city of St. Louis has a trash task force that Elida Cruson initiated last year, and I think it's really interesting. I don't know if it's quite in our capabilities to do something like that, but they have about 100 infrared cameras installed in areas that are known to have heavy litter and illegal dumping, and they've been catching people on camera and actually posting them in the newspaper and sort of publicizing,
shaming people.
Yeah, and they found actually that a lot of them were commercial contractors and builders and types that really didn't live in the neighborhoods that they were dumping in. So I thought that was interesting, although I'm not sure our budget for infrared cameras. And then St. Louis County's Adopt a Roadside, like you discussed. On the back, on the top part, I have cut out of a map that they had. The areas and roads in green are areas that are either adopted or available to adopt. So I noticed that there was a bit of an overlap as well. Some of the areas that have heavier litter are available to adopt.
And
so
Midland, actually, between Olive and Page, is the one that I have just adopted.
Midland between Olive. Okay,
yeah.
So that's a good stretch.
It's almost a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already got the signs up, surprisingly.
Wow.
You personally have adopted that road?
I have.
Whoa.
Yeah.
For
litter cleanup, of course, but also I got the county's permission to remove the winter creeper vines.
Oh, you did. You got it.
Yeah.
I think last time you said you were trying.
Yeah.
No, I already had it last time. What I was still working on was the trees. I also, this autumn, would like to plant some additional trees in the medians. So those streets, well, that street, Midland, and also where it intersects with Hanley, they have huge medians in those roads. And they already have trees, but there's room for more trees. So.
Wow.
So you haven't heard?
So I'm still working
on
that. I have heard, but we're kind of in process. The guy I was kind of playing phone tag with, I finally connected with him by email, and he said, of course, that he needed to discuss it with several other departments. So,
yes.
Wow. So we'll see where that goes.
Okay. Suggested next steps. I don't know if it's really important to set a goal or do a litter audit because we already know there's a problem in it. You can see if there's litter or not litter, but a lot of the Keep America Beautiful teams and some of the other cities definitely suggested doing a litter audit and setting a concrete goal. So my example is to reduce litter by 50% by 2020. I figure that might be something we could discuss further. And then educate and communicate with the businesses, property managers, residents. We could talk with some of the properties along Olive Boulevard and see if they would be interested in accepting a brochure. Maybe they just don't know how to, get rid of their waste properly. I know I live right behind several restaurants that have open bins and they'll store their cardboard on top of the bin and then it'll rain and everything will wash away. So I know that they might, just need to learn what the best management practices are or maybe just know that people care, so we'll start doing it differently, putting a little bit more effort in there. And then we could ask the business owners or property managers to do signs that say, like, please don't litter, you know, please dispose of your waste properly. Like at the, was it Pete's Market and the gas station that we had brought up last week. I don't know if they would be interested in putting a sign up, but it sounds better to me than having to pay a fine for the litter in their street. And then also cameras. Maybe we could get a business to do the infrared camera. They also see the litter as an issue. Or we could propose that they adopt a roadside themselves. And then we could review the U-City's mowing and litter removal practices, or ask them to do an audit so the people that actually mow the public area see, you know, kind of check both of those off under one box, see if they'll do the audit for us, and then that way it'll be sort of a mechanism to make sure that they're removing the litter before they mow. And again, signs in litter hotspots or along roadways, and that'll definitely help educate some of the non-residential commuters that that we care about litter, so maybe they'll think twice before tossing a wrapper out their window. And look into infrared cameras. We could assess the quality location of different bins. I know that several, like in my neighborhood specifically, there's just holes at the bottom of them or the top where things kind of poke out, and I don't really know if that's a cause for litter, but it definitely seems fishy to me. Then I also learned that there's an MSD grant program for the River to Pear. I think it's sponsored by Pure Clean. There's a residential grant, and there's also a grant for municipalities or organizations. And with this, we could definitely look into partnering with the stormwater group and see if that's something, especially in my neighborhood, which is really what this is, a lot of this is based off of, because I live right next to the river, and so the stormwater just rushes trash into my neighborhood. And so I definitely think putting up sort of a barrier or some sort of catchment system to stop the litter before it moves, you know, from property to property, it would be at least an easier way to collect it. And then to clarify litter ordinances and work with enforcement officers and inspectors to increase citations. I've not heard of anybody I spoke to actually receiving a citation for littering, but I know that there's definitely, especially in my neighborhood, there's a lot of larger, like, furniture and mattresses and rugs, you name it. So I know that there's definitely citable offenses.
Right.
That we could catch. And then to establish, like, citizen reporting tools, like I said, they have the nuisance claims. It actually doesn't specify litter, and it only specifies residential communities. And since a lot of the litter happens in the roadways and transition areas, I think either expanding that or clarifying that to, you know, not just encompass residential lawns might help. And then also looking into next door as a possible venue for handling nuisance claims like that. So, that's what I found.
Okay. I got a couple comments.
Great.
One is, you talked about the city's mowing and litter removal. I think this is just a question of getting whoever's in charge of the city's mowing crew,
mm-hmm.
and have that person tell the mowing crew to pick up the litter first before they go and mow. Will eliminate the problem of these now minor, small pieces, you know, filling up everything. So that would just seem to be, he says, a good start. We have to identify that person, whoever that is, the city staff who oversees the mowing. Probably somebody in public works, I think.
It's Chris. Is there Chris
Colbert?
Yes, I believe his name was on the proposal, but I didn't actually see the contract itself, only the request for
okay.
I think
proposal.
It's
our department does some mowing as well. Not in the right of way, but on big
okay.
plots.
So I think Chris it was the project manager on it, but I'm not sure. I think Ewald's guys probably handle the contract itself. I'm sorry, the Parks Department, the Parks Division.
Okay, but so there may be two or three people who are overseeing the mowing of different parts of the city's structure.
Right, and actually now it is, we have that parks director, so it's not Chris anymore. But
speaking of the new parks director, could we have him come and talk to us at this meeting?
That's a great idea.
Okay, so that's a way of at least of trying to get some of this cut down, the litter removing before we mow.
Yeah, I have never seen them do that.
That's just a question.
And it's obvious that they just mow over the litter.
It's just a question of changing the method of operation.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, it would increase the workload, and that does take some time to pick up.
But then again, they've already agreed to do it.
If they've agreed to do it, yeah, then they
And then I got a question about this goal of reducing litter by 50% by 2020. How do you measure the baseline? Where are we? It's quantitative.
That's a good question. And that was just an example. I'm not sure how feasible that would be. We would have to do a litter audit. Several different groups have proposed how to do a litter audit, but it basically just revolves around going out there, having some citizens look and record the litter that they find.
Okay.
So we all do that on a daily basis. At least I do. It's like, what litter is there? Is it there tomorrow? You know, can you pick it up?
Okay. So if you want to do this, you really need to establish a baseline
mm-hmm.
and repeat it, the operation next year. See where
and I suppose you could do that. Just pick a few kind of key areas,
mm-hmm.
like intersections where.
Take a small sample size.
Yeah.
The
you
whole
do
community. Lines against litter and have them. See how many bags they get.
There you go.
Yeah, they're a source of information.
Yeah. Piggyback on someone else.
A meeting this Saturday.
That's a good idea. We'll use them, piggyback it off. Some idea. They'd weigh what they're picking up or whatever. I don't know. Measure it somehow. And if they go to the same places, then see if there's any change. Okay.
I don't know. Do they already schedule their locations ahead of time?
Yeah, they've been meeting just at Centennial Commons.
I mean, I didn't know. I mean, their locations where they're going to pick
I
up.
I think they've mainly been concentrating on Olive for the past several months.
Okay.
It used to be that, and I haven't actually been able to go for a while, but it used to be that they would meet in a different park, city park, each month, and then have designated streets that they were picking up and try and get through all of the wards. But now they seem to be meeting always at Centennial Commons,
mm-hmm.
and I think concentrating on that area in the third ward,
mm-hmm.
which is definitely more of a problem in the third ward than the other two. The tires mentioned, that Liz had mentioned too, that brings up a point now that we're getting into, or about to get into warmer weather. I do see tires that have just been discarded too, and they're a fabulous breeding place for mosquitoes. So I don't know if the city has ever, you know, sent out any warnings about that.
What's driving that is that when you buy new tires now, they're charging a fee for handling the old tires.
Disposal fee.
How much is the disposal
fee? It's like a couple bucks a tire, like five bucks maybe a tire.
Yeah. But some people just don't want to pay it on principle. This, I think, is driving that.
Well, it seems like there have always been tires.
True.
Left lying around.
I know there was one in particular, a couple houses down from me, where there was one morning, there was a tire in somebody's driveway, and then when I went back to walk my dog in the afternoon, it was chucked into the river, like on the bank of the river,
yeah.
just... Well, like far enough down where I couldn't really just grab it, but it was so obvious. I know exactly which house it came from.
Yeah.
So things like that.
Okay. Any more thoughts?
Could the city? I know on those electronic display boards that they have, they always advertise the lines against litter pickups close to the time that they're picking up trash. Could they also have? Post some kind of anti-litter messages kind of routinely on the board?
Yeah. We have,
I
would be good, we will need to come up with a specific catchphrase,
yeah.
know, short, that I'm sure we can
yeah.
Google that.
I don't know that many that a lot of people pay attention to that. I still see plastic bags in people's recycle bins, for instance. But, and I know that's been posted on those signs. But it might help.
One thing I couldn't find was if there's already cameras on municipal buildings. I think that might be a good way to start out. I know in my neighborhood, it's fire station number 2, I believe, on North and South. They have a large bin on the side there on Shaftesbury. And it's like every time one piece of furniture is removed from the side there, another one shows up the next day. Right now we've got a couch, a mattress. It's completely full. We had like 2 different rugs, and there's always broken glass. I mean, it's a mess, and I've made a few nuisance claims on it myself, but, you know, like the day after bulk pickup, like the mattress showed up there. Mm-hmm. The day after, I can't catch a break. But I think it's the same trash can that the fire department 2 uses, because I see them walking out to dump their trash in there too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they have a camera, but it would be really convenient. It's right there on their property, right off of their property.
Get the license plate number for whoever's driving up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Even if there was just one camera, like a test kind of thing, one camera on a known problem spot like that, and then results were publicized.
Right.
That might have an impact.
That's a really good idea. And using that as the pilot spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We even put up a sign up there. This location is being monitored.
24-hour surveillance.
24-hour surveillance.
Yeah.
It might discourage. They'll probably dump it some other place, but
right.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Maybe we don't put up a sign first. Have some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you do that?
Transparency. We need to have transparency.
That is. It's just clear. There's no. It's not opaque. It's just clear.
Yeah, I think the bin says no recyclables, but nothing about
no dumping.
No,
yeah,
no
and
couch.
I mean, it's not even in there. It's like next to it.
Yeah.
And they actually the people who are repaving the roads came by, and the mattress got moved like 200 feet up away from there instead of just putting it in the bin. So I don't know. I see the fire department and the ambulance folks out there all the time, and I want to just knock on their window and be like, you're playing ping pong, or you're playing with your drones out here, can't you just take the mattress and put it in the bin or something? I can't do it myself, otherwise I would.
Mm-hmm.
So, low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Good report.
Yeah, I think you've got some possibilities here. Inspector Vehicles Update.
I printed this out. It's really hard to see. You'll need a magnifying glass a little bit. But it's also on what I sent, so you can look on your screen and zoom in. But we updated the replacement times and the maintenance costs so that they're all the same. So it's just a control number. And it's still the Nissan Leaf comes out ahead. After the... I know the Toyota Yaris is $2,000 cheaper upon purchase, and that isn't including the charging station, so that will increase it as well. But either way, it pays for itself pretty quickly, and it comes out ahead nicely. And so tomorrow we have a meeting with an electrician and Ameren to look around to see, to find out the cost of the charging stations and how much it would cost to run the electric and get an idea of that.
Okay.
Are you thinking about the Yaris now instead of the Leaf?
No. That was the one that Cliff had mentioned a few times.
Oh, okay.
So the price.
I see. I also like the fact that the annual gas cost doesn't go up every year.
Right.
Which, as we all know,
it does.
Gasoline goes up every year. So that's even tipping the scales toward a gasoline car, and it still gets beat.
Hmm.
So I think
it's just that initial cost of the charging stations. We're not sure, but we did for two double and one single, because we were getting five cars, I think he said it'd be $2,800 for the charging stations themselves, so it's not astronomical.
Yeah.
But we said, well, let's get three doubles, because a single isn't half the price of a double, and then we'll have space for one more. Mm-hmm. But
how long would they take to charge?
I can't remember what he said.
Those aren't high speed.
Well, it goes
weren't the high speed. It was the middle.
It's still, yeah it's not like on a regular 120 volt, like, you know, plugging into a regular outlet. It's 240 volts. It would definitely charge overnight. It's probably 3 hours, I want to say, maybe four at the most.
Yeah.
And that's to charge it to go 200 miles, but we know the cars only go 20 to 40.
Right yeah, so.
Yeah.
And it's not looking to police cars. We need to charge them within 15 minutes or whatever.
Right.
This is.
Right.
This is really the ideal place to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Cars sit there overnight anyway, and so you can charge them up.
Yeah. So that's where we are.
Yeah.
Has Gregory Rose indicated his acceptance of this idea, or don't you know?
Well, I don't know that he is that anybody's come to him and said, this is exactly what we're going to do, the Nissan Leaf, which we would have to put it out for bid anyway. It's not like we would.
Okay, yeah.
And so, but I know he's written in newsletters that we're buying alternative fuel vehicles. So
there's,
I can't imagine him saying, no, let's go with the gas. He said it in multiple times, in multiple meetings, alternative fuel vehicles.
Okay, so. just check.
And now that the, whatever, the St. Louis Better Together, they can't really complain about incurring any kind of debt due to unforeseeable actions.
Yeah. Okay, next item on the agenda is the Materials Recovery Facility grant approval.
Okay, so that's the MRF. That's what we call it. And I know we've talked about it before. One of the options was reopening the MRF over there. We got the grant approval, and that was one of the things when we talked about the study session was I talked about the different options, which are reopening the MRF, pulling glass from single stream, pulling paper, like all the typical options that different municipalities are doing, going dual stream. And so what we're wanting to do, intending, right now we've signed the agreement, and so it's at the Solid Waste Management District. They have to sign, they get it back, we go through the thing, so it won't be until July or so once we get everything signed and ready. We'll put it out for a request for proposals, and we'd like to add in there the other options, like if we pull glass, or if we collected glass as a separate stream, or same with fiber. And I'm to kind of look at all of our options just to, because of the high cost. So, but it should be, it's pretty interesting. It got, when we had the study session, somebody from West End Word was there. They put it in their paper, and then KSDK came and interviewed us talking about the MRF, and then it was been posted on different things about there's possibly another MRF. But the feasibility study is really important to even determine.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a major undertaking. Because you follow the markets, you get vendors, you get buyers, you find, you know, there's a whole other layer to our. But we talked also to Brentwood and Kirkwood, because they are like us, where they have their own fleet, and they take all their recycling to Republic as well, but they could then take it here, and we charge them, and they, you know, if it all works out well, then we would have, the volume helps.
Right.
You know, having that volume, and they express interest, but I don't know what's going to happen yet.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
In progress. Okay.
So that's it.
All right. Nothing else there then. Council is an update. Not going to happen tonight because Mr. Cusick is not here. Closing round. Anybody have thoughts about closing round?
Nope.
I've got one. I like this configuration, as against what we normally have with one table spread all the way out in the right field. We can certainly move this over here where we normally meet in that central area and have the opening, so visitors who want to talk to us, there'd still be chairs there, and they can see us and do it. But I like this.
But we can see each other.
Yeah, this is a much better configuration.
Can you just get one spinny chair for the middle? for mm-hmm. visitors, and they can rotate the whoever they want.
Yeah.
Really put them on the spot.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But even so, if we have them more in the open area, they can really have chairs in the back for people when they comment.
And I think
I know it's counting up spaces, you know, we can certainly fit one more person here for another person, and the sit-in council, you know, liaison can sit out there. Well, we can do this for another person. We can get the seven council members plus the liaison around this configuration. And this is just, I can see, a lot more compatible.
I will, if everybody's in agreement, then I will tell Leslie. Who sets up, has the diagrams.
Okay. If need be, if not quite done right, we can redo it ourselves.
Exactly.
Same as we did tonight. Mm-hmm. For those of you who got here late, then we just, Adam helped me put it together, so we got it done. All right, nothing else? We are adjourned.
Excellent.
6:10, my record. Wife was surprised to see me come home an hour
what
early.
What time is it? 6:10?
Yeah.
I get, wow, 6:11.
I could have talked